All right, go ahead. Let's head back to find a seat as close as you can this morning. We're going to have some good time together. Amen. Woo. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you, Hannah. That's good. That's good. Man. Well, it is it's good to be together this morning for those of us who can be together, right? I always love it. I think, did Susan just slip out? I think she did. She told me she was going to step out after worship, but we also, Katie is here. Is she still here? She's still here? Okay, cool. All right. Well, I know Michael's mom has been here. Susan. Yay. She texted me a few weeks ago, said, hey, I'm going to be in town. I'm like, man, I'm out of town. She said, it's okay. I'll be there for Thanksgiving. I'm like, no. So I get to see her and chat with her for a few minutes this morning. Katie's here. She brought her friend Alex. We're happy to have Katie here. It's really good. Lamont and Wendy are here. That's always special. Do you guys want to come and say hello? Have any kind of words of gold or blessing in your mouth for us? Come. Y'all better clap real hard for Lamont. Yeah, you better just.
Good morning. Hallelujah. It's good to be back and chance to see you guys and see my daughter. That's a big blessing. Wendy and I love Jesus, and we love you guys as well. We got a chance to spend some time with some of you over the Thanksgiving holiday, and we really appreciate your hospitality. I was sitting there during worship, and two things came across my heart. That was one of them. No, yeah, just confirmation. And it was kind of a difficult thing because it wasn't just me sharing with you. It was the Lord sharing with me. But something that the Lord hit me with, the statements that were made in worship, something to the effect of where we are in our faith and you know, trusting the Lord and wanting to be, what was the statement, Cody, what was the statement that was made that you made? That the faith that matches your faithfulness. So you're talking about faith that matches his faithfulness? Yeah? That's what we're talking about. Okay, yeah. So faith that matches his faithfulness. Well, his ability to see where we are before we ever know we could be there is that kind of faith, right? So one of the things that the Lord was kind of sharing is what do you guys believe in God for? I mean, it's one thing to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and to honor him and to worship him, but the reality of our worship is doing what it is he's shown us to do. How can I put it? It's easy to sing behind the gates. You know what I mean? It's easy to sing behind the gates. It's easy to get excited behind the gates. But until we step out away from the gates of comfortableness, that's not a word. I just made it up. as soon as we get out of that gate, then that's where the challenge comes. In reality, basically, we are, if you will, we are in Eden. Okay? We are in Eden. And a lot of times in our worship, we are in Eden. And God is saying, I want you to step out of Eden because there's stuff out there that is in chaos. And you can't go into chaos and stay in Eden at the same time. However, you can take Eden to where the chaos is and tear up, well, bring chaos to chaos, so to speak. You know? Yes, definitely. And the Lord was hitting me with that. It's like, you know, we sing our worship songs, and a lot of times in our worship songs we're saying, Lord, do this, Lord, do that. And he's saying, I am when you. Yeah. Let me put it like this. I am when you do. If you do it, I'm doing it. But as long as you don't do and you just tell me to do it, I've already done everything I'm going to do, is what he's saying. There's nothing more to do except for you to do it. So the reality of our faith is stepping into what we haven't done to do what God has already done. And when we begin to do that, as opposed to being in this place of safety, as opposed to being in this place of safety, he wants us to step out and be him. There's nothing to fear out there, because what you fear is not even real. What you sense is not even real. So to step out of this comfortable area and step into where the darkness is and make it light, because you have that ability to do it. So whatever it is, the original plan for this ministry, it's time for that to manifest itself in not just the gatherings that are here. This is where you come to get strength. This is where you come to get encouragement from one another. But the reality is, you're not doing AOX until you leave here, until you step out from this place of comfort, from this place of praise, and take the praise that you have on your lips and carry it out and conquer where you're supposed to go. I think that's all.
Oh, wait. That's a really now word, and it's going to connect the dots in a few minutes. Can you pray for us? Sure. Now, before he prays for us, can you get your heart ready? Because he's talking, that's a lot of confirmation. A lot of confirmation. So, would you just take 30 seconds and ask God, Lord? See, guys, let me tell you something. Sometimes I think that we feel like unless there's a good prophetic word, then there wasn't anything that happened. Listen, there's a transaction that takes place in prayer. When we pray, heaven moves. Man of God's getting ready to pray for us. And you can sit here and say, oh, that was a nice prayer, or you can position your heart to receive what God wants to do. What he just said about 5 weeks of what I would say in about 5 minutes. I was really a blessing of God. Lord said. Now, can you hear it? Can you hear it? Listen, can you hear it? And can you hold on to it? Or you can forget about it and think about lunch. But we will live it either way. We're waiting on God to do what he's already called us and commissioned us to do. This is a now word. We don't start. Listen, what he said about the manifestation of what we're called to be, that is the now word for right now. That's what God has been speaking. He's been speaking it for months. And in many ways, we talked about this last week. I've been talking about with several of you for the last several weeks. What happens in this room, if this becomes how we define church, we've missed the whole thing. But that's not what's in our heart. And God is getting ready to give some of us some options of stepping out. And that will not mean the end of things. That will mean the beginning of things. Will we be ready for it? So just position your hearts. And Lamont, just pray. Just don't be in a hurry. Okay?
5 weeks and 5. All right. So, Father, we thank you right now. We come to this place, Lord God, where we recognize that there is a fear that holds us back from doing what we know we can and what we know that you have already done. We break that fear now in the name of Jesus. We come against every force that has tried to stop us and has delayed the coming of the Lord into communities and areas that need your power, that need your deliverance, that need your hand being raised up to bring light where darkness is. We come now, Lord God, and we gather. And I pray in the name of Jesus for holy boldness to move forward, Lord, to get unstuck from the sticking and to move into the place, Lord, where there is transition from the light, from the darkness to the light for the world, transition for us, Lord God, to move into a place where we find ourselves as the city that's set on the hill that cannot be hid. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that those, Lord, that have been struggling for years to move into the places, Lord God, that are so near them, Lord, that they would open their eyes would be enlightened, that they would see, Lord, what you see. And then, Lord, that they would gather up the strength, Lord God, to function in that area, in those places, Lord, where you call them, to move, Lord God, before they get the solid things, Lord, that they think they need to have in order to go where they're supposed to go, to do what they're supposed to do, Lord God, in spite of what other people are saying. I thank you, Lord, that you give us the boldness, Lord, to speak your word, to speak your truth, to live your truth, to walk your truth. Lord, if that is to lay hands on a sick person in the street in this city or any other city, that we would open our eyes and open our mouths and trust you, Lord God, with the words that you give us. Lord, we spend a lot of time sometimes in just praying, waiting for you to give us the strength when you're looking for us to step out and just do it. Help us, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, that we take the giftings that you've given us, Lord, and we recognize those are the tools, those are the power things that you've given to us to rise up and destroy the effects of the enemy's things that he does in this world. I thank you, Lord, that not only will you show us these things, Lord, in the spirit, but Lord, you'll translate them into the natural so that we can walk into those things, Lord, without fear, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you have already provided the provision. Every provision that we need, Lord. If it's money, I thank you, Lord, that there's a sea of it coming, Lord God, and it flows, Lord God, like rivers, Father. Lord, if it's influence, I thank you right now, Lord God, that we have your grace, Lord God, in the world, and the world cannot resist the love of God that is coming to them. Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, if it's just wisdom, I thank you that you provide those, Lord God, that have the experience, Lord God, and those that have the word for the hour, for the moment, for that time, Lord God, and we hear and we grow as a result of it. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, we declare that we'll not be at the same place this time next year. But Lord, we will hear you day by day, and we'll walk step by step, and we'll see further than we've ever seen before, and we'll speak louder than we've spoken before, and we will hear you every time. And more importantly, Lord, we'll move not because we feel it, not because we sense it's good, but because you said it. We will do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
So let's do things a little bit different. Turn to John chapter 20. I'm gonna share this connecting word with what I feel like Lamont was just sharing, and then we'll do our announcements, and Amy's gonna share something at the end, or whenever, I don't want to call it the end, here's what the sequence is going to be. John chapter 20. Oh, Jesus, please help and guide us this morning. Lead us into what you're speaking about. Guys, this is such a season of transition, and it's happening in many of your lives individually. It's happening in the life of our family, our physical family, our spiritual family. It's happening just in the body. And in moments like this, where you're aware that God is doing something, he's about to do something, a key question is, God, what is it you're doing and how can I cooperate? What is it you're doing and how can I cooperate? We have talked about this a lot in terms even of the long journey that we've been in about identity, sexuality, and gender. And I feel like the Lord was speaking to me this morning, just reminding me of some reasons why this journey is worthwhile. Guys, it's very easy for us to read the Bible and want right answers, but God is really wanting to emphasize right now in the spirit of his process of growing us to maturity. And so it's really important in any family for us to recognize that no matter how amazing Lydia is in her, wow, she's 10 months old, right? She's now getting ready to turn 11 months old. It would be ridiculous for us to hold her to the standard of an 11-year-old, right? Does that mean that she's a failure? Does that mean that she's unwise? Of course not. It means that she is at a stage in her development. And we have to be able to recognize that as a family, we are at a place in our development. As individuals, you are in different places. And listen, in family, fair can be a dangerous word. Do you hear what I'm saying? Fair can be a very dangerous word because we can begin to look for this thing that we hold everyone to instead of recognizing, God, what are you doing in us together and what are you doing in us individually? Does that make sense? Are you hearing me? Yes, no? Okay. We said last week, for those of you who are here, this will not work. This way of trying to follow Jesus together will not work if you are relying on walking in here and getting what you need as a booster shot for the week. That's not even a goal that we have, is to try to produce some kind of excellent teaching that will allow you to get fed from week to week. I just never really thought that God called us as a family just to be sheep feeders, but that we would grow up and would become empowered to know him, to know his word, and to follow him. Does that make sense? But we have to be able to be honest with ourselves. And I think one of the things that we're recognizing as we get into the word together, as you get into the word on your own, how many of you have just can be really honest and say, I've read things in the word in the last 3 or 4 months that I recognize I don't really believe? Can you raise your hand? And it's not just enough for it to be in here and to be a fact in here. We need to be able to get honest and say, God, there's places we don't really believe you yet, but we've set our heart to say yes to you. Does that make sense? And like, if we can get honest about what we don't believe, we can just attract a lot of grace. God has just been highlighting his commitment to resist the proud. It's not because he doesn't love us. It's just grace comes to humility. And so there's some things this morning that Lamont touched on that I thought were really important that I want to read a few verses here, and I'm just going to point to a scripture for us to read together this week. And I'm going to say, some of you, I know you're already fasting. Some of you have increased times of prayer. Guys, we've talked about for the last several months about developing a hunger plan. I'm just going to encourage every one of us, don't be passive. God has got some really amazing things he's wanting to do in our presence right now. It'd be really easy to check out and move to the fringe. Listen, God did not call the church to be like, you know, the hokey pokey where you put a little bit in. And I'm just going to be honest. Some of us right now, we're disappointed with the way we've seen some things happen. So we put a little bit in, we put a little bit out. And the truth is, there is no tension between developing hunger and a passion in your heart for God that is fueled in the secret place and being all in with what he's doing in his people. If you wait to find the perfect church to do that, you will never get to experience it. But if you can give yourself to what God is doing in family, then you're going to get to see some rewards happen in your life, okay? So I'm getting ready to read a couple verses, and I just want to ask you, kind of line by line, if we believe it. Please, let's not give Sunday school answers today, okay? Let's look at John chapter 20. I want you to look at verse 19, and to set the stage here, this is after the resurrection. This is when Jesus now appears, okay, to his disciples. John 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembling for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hand and his side. Then the disciples were glad and they saw the Lord. Now, hold on for just a second. This is after he has been crucified. This is after the cross. This is after all of the persecution that was happening to Jesus personally and the scattering of his 12. And now they're together. Why were they together in a room with the doors closed? Fear. And Jesus shows up to them and says, peace. Now, can you imagine that scene? Can you imagine, you know, you just lost the one that you love. You watched him suffer. We know that they weren't full of faith because it says they were full of fear. And faith and fear don't hang out together. And so often we spiritualize fear and call it discernment. Does that make sense? We will assess the situation through the lens of fear and call it discernment. But we can't be full. Listen, 1 John, we've been reading 1 John. It says that there's no fear in love. If I'm hanging out where there's a place in my life where fear is the ruling mindset, that's not a place that faith is hanging out. That's not a place that fear is hanging out. So it says that Jesus showed up in the midst of them and said, hey, peace with you. He shows them his hands. He shows them their feet. He says they were glad. I don't know exactly what emotion I would expect them to have. But I think that there was a response to this one that they've been following with for 3 years now showing back up in the room. Can you believe that? Can you believe that that happened? Yeah? Can you believe that? Yes? This is the baseline. How are we doing? Okay, we're all going to be honest and we're not going to judge each other. How many of you can believe that that actually happened, that that was real, that was true? Cool. Awesome. Let's keep reading. So Jesus said to them, peace be to you. And as the Father has sent me, what does he say next? So as the Father has sent me, I also send you. How many of you believe that? How many of you can say, I believe that Jesus gave a commission to his disciples and said, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. Raise your hand if you believe that. What did he mean by that? Okay, sending to other parts of the body. What do you think? Anybody else? Just give some short kind of blast answers. What do you think it meant for Jesus to say, as the Father's sending me, I'm now sending you? Go share the good news. Restore relationship with the Father. In this room, I'll leave this room. That's a big difference between in this room and leave this room. I was going to try to make some connection to what that meant, but I don't have to now. Yeah. Hey, is the word sent doesn't mean stay. Right? And we're not going to get sidetracked in this morning, but like any form of the apostolic that allows you to think that we should just build a big party is the wrong meaning of that word. The apostolos was always about going someplace you're not. Jesus said, as the Father apostolos me, now I'm releasing you, I'm sending you. How did the Father send Jesus? Okay? Came as a baby, he came as a son. I think this is very interesting here. He didn't, you know, Jesus did not call God by a different name. He called him as a father. He identified as a son, and he said, as I've been sent as a son, I'm now sending you as a son. Word that Lamont released was there's a provision for everything that you need already. Jesus did not come from the Father without having what he needed to accomplish what he was sent for. Okay, he wasn't elevated in the church. He was an everyday. There was nothing about him that we should be drawn to him. How many of you we can believe, though, that what we can believe Jesus, we can trust Jesus, what he said is true. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. How many of you believe that's what he told his disciples and believe there was a meaning to that, right? The guys, that's important because if we can't build upon that, then we're basically just here waiting until we die and hoping that heaven's as cool as we've imagined. Right? I mean, if the main thing is just like, hey, we don't have to go to hell, we get to go to heaven. If that's the main part of the gospel, then we're just passing time and trying to be faithful till we till we get to heaven. But if what Jesus said is true, is the Father sent me, now I'm sending you, then that means you're here with a purpose. You're here with a mission. Now let's read on. You ready for this one? And he said to them, and when he said this, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. How many of you believe that? When was the last time you walked around and, Cody, I forgive you your sins? What do you think that means? If you forgive the sins of any, they'll be forgiven. We get to be priests. What does that look like, Cody, in real life? Come here, Cody. That was really good. I want to make sure everybody gets to hear it. We're going to talk about it. Turn off your ringers.
I mean, I'm sure there's more to that whole thing than just what I'm saying, but I think of like times when I confess sins to my brothers, or they do so to me, or to my sisters too, just like confessing sin and having people like speak forgiveness over me, instead of it just being this thing that I like kind of work out in my head where it's like, okay, I'm going to like confess my sins and kind of like picture this feeling of forgiveness or something, but it's just like having someone like declare like, no, like you're forgiven. This is who you are. And this is like just speaking truth. It's a pretty effective thing. So, I mean, that's what I thought of, but
how many of you have experienced that aspect of what he's talking about? Do you think that's tied into what Jesus is saying here? I do too. What do you think it means, Lamont? We're going to come to you in just a second. What do you think it means if whoever sin you retain will be retained? Holding offense, all right. Lamont, what are you going to say? Yes, please. So I was listening to, this week I was listening to the podcast from whenever Gabe's dad shared, and one of the things that Paul talked about was how, you know, people kept telling me I needed Jesus, and he's like, you know, I love how Gabe politely said F you. I scratched my head as I was driving. But one of the things that Paul said is, you know, see that he's out there at the vending machine, you know, kind of wrestling this machine, and this guy comes out and says, you need Jesus. And Paul said, I know I do. All right, what's his story? Remember the story of the four friends in the Gospel of Mark? The four friends, they've got a lame man, right? And they bring the lame man to the house. What do? When they get to the house? They tear a hole in the roof. Listen, if you're worried that your hunger or desperation is getting out of control, there's a standard. Serious. We need to be way less controlled about getting too hungry. We need to be way less concerned about getting too hungry. They rip off the roof and they lower the friend. And you remember what Jesus said? Listen. He saw the faith of the man's friends and said to the lame man, because of their faith, your sins are forgiven. We're talking about this, guys, because we're talking about this big topic of identity, sexuality, and gender. I want us to get into Romans 1 this week, and I want us to chew on Romans 1. Read Romans 1 and just go as far as you can go, at least to chapter 2, verse 11. I would submit to us in the context. I'm going to give you a context about what we've been talking about, and I'm going to talk about where we are as a whole, as a spiritual family. Romans 1 describes what has happened and what is happening in culture. where because we have put the focus on ourselves instead of on God, it says that God turned them over to a reprobate mind. Does that make sense? So for some of us, how many of you remember what we talked about with being jerry-rigged, right? Something that's being kind of crudely crafted together. The thing is, God has got a different normal in his word. What he says is normal is different than what we've experienced, but we have learned normal from a world that's been turned over to a reprobate mind. Does that make sense? Yes, no? Help me. So it's kind of like we have Eden inside of us. But we feel like we've been planted in the middle of a black hole and we don't even know our way out of the forest. Like we're surrounded by stuff. And so I don't want you to raise your hands for this. I just want you to listen and see if this makes sense. Brokenness has become so normal that whenever it almost feels like a fantasy not to think broken. And so it's easy to get tuned in to brokenness. I want you to listen, guys, I'm just going to tell you, it'll take you 20 minutes. I say this every week, but this is what I mean it for. Come on. Like, alter your life and just bathe in the word this week. Like, I don't know what you do when you're taking a shower. Unless you've got something really important to do, just find Romans 1 and put it on and listen to it as you're getting clean. Like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, I don't know when you can find time. Whether it's, if you work by yourself and you have lunch, get the word and read it at lunch. Get the word with your family and read it. But listen, the word of God is not something for us to consult. It's something for us to be consumed by. I just don't even want us to consume it. I want to be consumed by it. Because here's the deal. If our approach to the brokenness around us allows us, because here's what happens. Either we judge it or we approve it. And the world is not waiting for our opinion. They're waiting for our freedom. Does that make sense? The world is not waiting for our opinion of whether we say thumbs up or thumbs down. Romans 1 describes everything that's happening in culture right now. But it is looking for those who will seek after the glory of God, who will seek after his righteousness, who will seek. So I feel like what Lamont was saying to us in some ways, when Cody made the statement about our faith shouldn't like be, he said something about faith and experience. I was like, wait, I got what he was saying. But guys, we should be experiencing the fruit of faith all the time. We shouldn't build our faith upon our experiences, right? We all agree with that, right? And how can we just admit that we do that many, many times? We pray for something. If it doesn't happen, then we feel discouraged and we lose heart, which the whole purpose of faith is so we can be connected into a foundation that's not based just on how we see things happening. Guys, what God is going to be leading us into in these coming months, I've shared this with someone individually, but I believe it is true collectively. I believe we are at a major transition in our community. And I want us to pray. I want to find times for us. I mean, I want us to find times. If it has to be that some people were praying at Tuesdays at lunchtime and some people were praying at 4 a.m. and some people are praying in the evenings, I want us to really figure out how we can get together and begin to pray. Because I think if we don't, there's going to be a lot of people who feel fractured. Because here's what I think God's getting ready to do. I've been seeing for the last several months this picture of a revolving door. And I've been seeing for the first time ever, like there being a real outflow from our community. Like it's time for some people to step out. And if we don't learn how to do that well together, we will do two things. One, people will just leave. Or even worse, some people will stay that should leave, and that will be a block for those that God wants to bring in. Like there are people that are an important part of this spiritual family. I don't have all the details. I don't know, but I will tell you this. The dream in my heart, that I believe is the dream in God's heart. I'll just say that. The thing that this community formed around was the prayer about Antioch. God, where the people that whenever they lay hands and send out, it's equals being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Don't make your decision apart from community and then come and want to get sent out that way. Let's get our stuff before the Lord and say, God, what is it you're doing? Don't do it by yourself and then want everybody to be excited about it. And at the same time, don't think you're the Holy Spirit for everybody else that you get to tell them where they do and not do. That's not our job. Let's get before the Lord and minister to the Lord. That's what it says in Acts. As they ministered to the Lord and prayed, they heard God say. As they were fasting and they heard God say. And you know what they did after they heard God say? Then they prayed and fasted some more. I believe that we need to be getting ready because God wants there to be a place where there's a flow. Now listen, we're already having problems. We're already having problems. We have a bunch of babies. How many of you have noticed we have babies? Babies are not a problem, but when we decided, hey, we want to love our families and provide a nursery. You know, whenever we want to love our babies and have a nursery, but then we have people that start feeling God's like getting ready for them to leave, all of a sudden we don't have enough people to do man the nursery. You know what? God's got a solution. And the size of that problem, it's not a thing. We may not, listen, you may not, he said at the very end, hey, we're not going to be in the same place we were, you know, a year from now, we won't be in the same place. Listen, I don't know what that's going to mean. We changed last year to meeting on Sunday mornings because it was the best thing for us to do with our families. Who knows what God's going to do next? But if we're on a journey together, it's about knowing who we're following. Who are we following? It's about knowing who we're following and saying, hey, moving with you is more important than having everything else figured out. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so I believe there's a real sense right now where our faith needs to be stretched and we need to get real about places where we struggle to believe what God said. We just need to be honest with each other. I don't mean as an excuse. I don't mean that we say, hey, I don't believe that part. But you know what it says in Romans is that you judge the world for not having it figured out, but you're guilty of the same thing. And God is inviting us to a place where we just get more real and more honest with each other. Listen, I am homesick for some place I've not been yet. And I know this is something that I believe for me personally is a life message, and I believe it's on us as a community. I cannot allow my disappointments with the church to define what I believe about her. I must allow the truth of God's word to renew my mind and then elevate what I'm believing for. Then to elevate what I'm believing for to what his word says. When we talk about the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, I don't know what image comes into your mind, but I believe that every town, every city, every village is owed an encounter with a life-size living Jesus. Something doesn't set well in my heart when we use our humanity as an excuse. It was never meant to be an excuse. It was meant to be an invitation to see heaven poured out on the sons and daughters of God. So there's a slide, maybe we'll put it up, but I'm asking you, if you're part of the spiritual family, don't just do it for your simple church, do it for your heart. Don't just do it so you can be prepared for a conversation. That's a good reason. But read Romans 1. Read Romans 1 through, I mean, you can keep going. It's a letter. But read Romans 1, at least through chapter 2, verse 11, and ask yourself, ask Holy Spirit to show you where we are right now. Where is our culture in the midst of that? And then what is his response for us? What is his call to his people in the midst of brokenness? I'm going to go to that. Those of you who take pictures, you can take a picture of this. Where do you see our culture fitting into what Paul describes in Romans 1? And what should our response be? Is that clear? Does anybody have a question about that? Okay. A couple of announcements real quick, and then I'm going to have Amy come. All right. Important. December 17th. Believe that will be before most people head out of here, but December 17th, we're going to have a family dinner. And that Sunday, we'll take most of that Sunday, just reflect on some things God has been doing, give some more information about things we sense God getting ready to do, but that'll be family dinner. We'll be in touch with you about the plan for that. They'll be a little bit different, but we'll be in touch with you, but I want you to know that. So please put that down. If you're able to be here, please be here on that Sunday. After church, yes, thank you. Hey, Eliza's going to come real quick and share with us. Look at that cute picture we got this morning.
Hello, everyone. I just want to say thank you for everybody who has either brought them a meal or signed up to bring them a meal, because there's enough new families in the room that we remember how amazing it is to not have to cook and what an immense blessing it is, more than you would realize, to just get a home-cooked meal when you're trying to acclimate to a very new normal. Anyways, so I recognize that this past week was really busy. A lot of people were traveling. We had Thanksgiving, so it was kind of hard for people to sign up and bring meals, but I just want to encourage you, don't forget about it. Like, if you need the link to sign up on the website, I will send it to you. If you're having problems, just let me know. I can help you. And I also recognize that cooking gluten and dairy-free can be kind of intimidating for people. If you don't know what to make, just ask me. I will send you easy recipes, whether it's like a stew or a soup or something. If time is a problem for you, I can find recipes that are super simple, like 5 ingredients you can make in under 30 minutes. If money is an issue for you and you only have like $10 or something, I promise I can help you find dairy gluten-free meals. So I love to cook. This is what I do. So if you are intimidated, just let me know, and I would love to help you help them, because it makes a world of difference. Like, it's just incredibly a huge blessing. So please sign up, even if it's a few weeks in the future. I know when I had Lydia, it was just such a blessing to look at the calendar and be like, oh my gosh, like, people are bringing me meals a month and a half from now, or a month from now. And it just was incredibly encouraging when you can't be here to know that there are people who are still remembering you and want to help serve you. So let me know if you have any questions or need anything, but I just encourage you to sign up now so we don't forget. So anyways, and she's precious. If you haven't met her yet, when you bring your meal over, if you don't do so sooner, meet her and coddle her. So anyways, thank you.
Come on. Thank you, Eliza. How many of you are glad to be connected to the same body as Eliza? That's so empowering. But do you see the difference? You see the difference in what she just said? I want to help you, help them. It would have been really different. Hey, if you can't do anything, just let me know. She didn't say that. She just went through every excuse you could come up with and said, hey, let me know, and I'll help you. That's not feeding sheep. That's empowering. Does that make sense? That's a mindset. That's a mind shift. I have zero interest in trying to provide a buffet for people to come and get what they want and then go. We want to learn how to be empowered. Does that make sense? Is that what you want? Right? Come on. Man, I would preach. All right. Hey, for those of you who weren't here last week, we're going to have a time again next week. Hopefully, are you guys around next week? I think we'll have you guys come and just share again next week, because I know there's been a bunch of people gone. But Jerry and Crystal will be heading out at the end of the year. What's the date? Is it 22nd? On the 22nd of December, they'll be leaving to go to Indonesia with Crystal's brother and family on a mission trip. Praise God. They set an initial goal of $10,000. That goal is already met. Woohoo! So now we have another goal of $5,000, and what that's going to do is directly go to taking care of orphans. For $500 for a whole year, this ministry can take care of an orphan. So what we really want to do is have faith with them, and what I asked last week is kind of in the same way, ask God what you can give. This is a part of our family, and so if God says give zero, then let him tell you that. But you go into it, don't go into it expecting God to have to convince you that you should give something. Go in it with a say, God, what do you want me to give? And I would love it. I just encourage, you know, if your simple church maybe wants to come together and take care of a kid, but I think it would be awesome. And so we want to send them out really good. So we will celebrate, and on the 19th, we'll like gather around them and pray for them and have a sending prayer time. But Jerry and Crystal celebrate them getting out the doors and getting out of the room and going and doing this. Listen, Jerry and Crystal just moved here, but we already have this prayer in our heart. We know they're not here forever. I'm in no hurry to get rid of them. But we understand, listen, what we've signed up for is ridiculous unless it's God. What we've signed up for is to love people deeply and pray that they get to go do the thing God put in their heart to do. Some people, God's called you to be here. Praise God for some settlers. But for many of you, your dream is not in Grove City. That's not the place that you feel like God, and guys, it's not just your dream, but the thing that God has dreamt for you is not in Grove City. Can you learn to be present and be fully here while you wait? Some of you can't wait to get out of here. You're like, I can't stand this little town. Even the white people think it's too white. I'm just being real. Right? But you want to learn how to get where God's going. You be present where you are. Celebrate what you're believing for in the lives of other people. Okay? So let's celebrate. I remember Jerry telling me, I think God told me $10,000. And then we're a few months away, and he's like, $10,000? God provided. Where are we at now? 10,600 and something like that? 52. Listen, if all you've got is a nickel, you can change that 52 to a 57. But be faithful to do something. I'm serious. That's God's dream. All right. So if you want to give to Jerry and Crystal's mission fund, you can do that on the Cash App. You can do that with a check. You can make it out to AOX and just put the Toe Chick Go Fund on it, and that will go there. If you have anything else, if you want to give your tithes and offerings, anything else that's going on, we don't have a floor fund anymore. Come on. All right, we've already done that. So last thing today before Amy comes is I wanted to let you guys know we are starting tomorrow. We're inviting you to join us. We've also been inviting some other people as well. But we are looking for some people who will join us for the next 5 weeks in prayer. Here's what we're asking. We're trying to get at least 5 friends each day. So we're asking, will you take one day of the week and take at least 15 minutes to pray over 5 prayer points? Now, we'll send this out to you, but I really don't want to just send this out in a blanket email and have nobody read it. So if you want me to send it to you, I will communicate it to you. If you don't communicate with me, I may communicate back to you, but I would really rather us not do that. I would really rather you say, hey, I'm interested, send us the prayer points. But what we're asking is, we really sense that our family is in the midst of transition. We don't feel like God wants us to move. We don't feel any change in the terms of our connection with AOX, but we do feel like this is a massively significant transition. So the 5 prayer points we're praying for is clarity in the transition, connection in our family. We're asking people to pray for our church. So we've got people all across the country who are going to be praying for our church for a lot of the things that Lamont talked about. Just this is a transitional time. This is a time where we're going to begin to see people feel called and stirred up to go. We need grace for that. So I think with the thing on the prayer point is grace and momentum for our church community. And then pray for our family's fitness, and then praying for our finances in the midst of the transition. But I'm asked, that starts what we're asking. So I know Laura signed up, I think, for Tuesdays. Or Derek signed up for Laura, maybe, because Derek was the one that built the sheet. I'm going to guess based on the look. Laura, you've been sovereignly called by your husband to pray for us. We have 2 couples right now signed up to pray on Fridays for us. So what you're just saying, hey, is every Tuesday I'll take 15 minutes, whatever day you pick, but you'll set an alarm and you'll do that. So there's a nice little, very easy form you can fill out, and I will send it to you because we want to be serious about it. Our family is really taking these next 5 weeks to pray. We're not going to stop praying at the end of 5 weeks, but we're really believing for some real clarity to come in the midst of that. So I'm asking you either text me and I will send you the link, or come and talk to me and I will send you the link, okay? So please, my invitation, if I need to talk to you individually, I will. This is very important to us. And we have about 60 or 70 other people we're also inviting into this as well. But we really want to invite you as our family into this with prayer. Okay?